It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. Today is Tuesday, March 12th. I'm Erin Fulton with Raven News. KCAW's Catherine Rose continues her assignment in Japan this week, where she's looking into the industry and culture of herring. Rose recently visited Tsukiji Outer Market in Tokyo and met with a vendor who sells sakuro from Alaska. This is KCAW reporter Catherine Rose, and I am at Tsukiji Outer Market in Tokyo. Unlike Toyosu Market, this one is mostly open air, and it is just packed with people. Some of them are picking up groceries, but many people here walking up and down the aisles are actually tourists who've come to admire the unparalleled variety of seafood, maybe grab a skewer of Wagyu steak topped with uni or some candied strawberries. But I'm here with anthropologist Dr. Shingo Hamada, and we are looking for herring eggs. There are two businesses in the market that specialize in fish eggs, and we didn't have any luck at the first stall. But at the second shop, Maruta Shokuin, we found a couple of small bags of eggs that the owner says are from Sitka. The sakuro is smaller than the herring eggs from northern Japan. It even has a reddish tint to it. The seller says that's because they're unbleached. The Kazunoko section only makes up a small corner of his shop. They're not a very popular item most of the year. I ask him how often he eats them.
Yeah, it's a Japanese custom that we eat herring egg on the New Year's Day, so I eat it once a year for sure on the New Year's Day. So sometimes I eat it, but generally speaking, just I eat it only on the New Year's Day.
He says he'll have more herring eggs from Alaska later in the year after the commercial fisheries happen. But he says when he started selling fish 60 years ago, all of the herring eggs available were from Alaska or Canada. And now he can get Kazunoko from Hokkaido. That's where we're headed to next.
That was KCAW's Catherine Rose reporting from the Tsukiji Outer Market in Tokyo, Japan. Rose will be sharing more stories from her travels over the next week. Her trip is a project of KCAW and the Alaska Center for Excellence in Journalism. You can see photos on our website, kcaw.org. One likely response to the rapid growth of cruise tourism in Sitka will be the creation of a tourism commission and a tourism director to oversee it. The Sitka Assembly met in a work session on Thursday to discuss the city's current tourism planning and marketing model and whether it should be modified to address the community's rapidly changing need. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Sitka's Chamber of Commerce took over visitor management in 2018 after the dissolution of the Sitka Convention and Visitors Bureau. The chamber has performed under a base 3-year contract at $300,000 per year, extended annually on approval of the funding from the Assembly. Assemblymember Kevin Mosier said that model is outdated.
So we're most likely going to be hiring a tourism director, which is completely appropriate. And so I would like to do a shift currently from the Sitka model to maybe more of a Juneau model, where they have a tourism director, and then where we would kind of allow the contract with Sitka to expire and then do a new RFP for a grant. And the difference here is, from here to a Juneau model, is the city of Sitka would have more, exercise more control over the operations of the contract with Visit Sitka.
Assembly members agreed that the chamber's marketing efforts under the banner Visit Sitka have been successful. What's not happening are the things no one could plan for when Visit Sitka was created. Sitka Planning Director Amy Ainsley said many tasks have landed in her office that should rightfully be the responsibility of a tourism director.
First and foremost, the city has several operations during the summertime. Regarding Lincoln Street closures, bathroom placements, permitting, other traffic improvements, and that sort of thing. Those are all outcomes and operations that came out of the short-term tourism plan. That has not left my desk since doing the plan.
The most vocal critic of the Visit Sitka model has been Assemblymember Tor Christensen, who reminded the group that the former Convention and Visitors Bureau was funded by the bed tax and was intended to promote independent travel to Sitka. Visit Sitka, in his opinion, had strayed from that mission.
Honestly, I doubt that the current situation here in Sitka has much to do with Visit Sitka. The website where you list all the different charter lodges and places like that, that's good. But things like the visitor guide, well, already here, and again, that strikes me as being aimed at the cruise ship tourists. And that's not who's paying their salaries.
Over the course of the work session, the assembly gradually teased out a direction, staying the course with the chamber and Visit Sitka on the strength of its marketing until it could develop a new scope of work for the contract that would better align with the Sitka of today rather than the Sitka of the last decade. And second, creating a position within City Hall to gather all the frayed threads of the last couple of years and manage tourism. Assemblymember Tim Pike, as they say, did not want to throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Not marketing Sitka overall, I don't think, is a good idea. And then I really don't want to confuse the managing of it with the marketing of it, because I think the managing of it, which is what Amy's talking about, is a whole different game and has a lot bigger implications.
Chamber of Commerce Director Rachel Roy was not invited to speak during the work session. She had provided the assembly with detailed reports documenting the increase in web traffic, airport arrivals, hotel occupancy, and municipal revenues since her organization created Visit Sitka. Kevin Mosier took a moment to acknowledge what Visit Sitka had accomplished.
But I also feel the need also to make sure, the current contractor understands that they have done a tremendous job in marketing Sitka and helping bringing us tourism, increasing numbers and increasing visitors. And I don't want to seem ungrateful at all. I think they have done a great and tremendous job.
The chamber already received its one-year extension from the city in July. The assembly will revisit the question of a tourism director as an agenda item at its regular meeting on March 26th. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Trident Seafoods, one of the largest seafood processing companies in the country, will finalize sales for three of the four plants it listed for sale late last year. According to a press release on Friday, the Ketchikan, Petersburg, and False Pass plants all have buyers. The seafood processing giant put four of its Alaska plants up for sale in December, citing the need to reduce costs in a harsh global market for U.S. seafood. Trident did not name who will buy the plants. A company spokesperson declined comment, saying that both Trident and the buyer are bound by non-disclosure agreements. It's currently unclear what impact the sale will have on Trident's fleet, employees, or the local communities. Trident's Vice President of Alaska Operations, Jeff Wellborn, said in Friday's announcement that the company is trying to move as quickly as possible on the sale to minimize impacts on the upcoming salmon season. Wellborn added the deals are simple, straightforward transactions and expects the buyer to communicate with its fleet in the coming weeks. Wrangell's City and Borough Assembly on Tuesday night is expected to approve a letter of support for legislation that looks to improve Alaska's waterfronts. The Working Waterfronts Act is a federal bill that was introduced by Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski in February. It looks to enforce sustainable development along coastal areas and marine industries. This includes coastal energy, fisheries and seafood, shoreside infrastructure, and workforce development. In a letter to Murkowski, the city expressed particular interest in shoreside infrastructure and workforce development. Also at the assembly meeting, a public hearing will take place in regard to the city moving to approve the sale of the Wrangell Medical Center, also known as the Old Hospital, and six parcels adjacent to it. Petersburg's Ranger District is taking public comment on proposed changes to its local facilities, including its iconic Brutalist office building downtown. The district plans to modernize the building, which was built several decades ago. The proposed updates wouldn't dramatically alter its exterior, but would make room for more employees and bring its electrical, air handling, and fire suppression systems up to spec. The plan would also update the building's landscaping and construct a covered bike parking area for staff. The Forest Service Scow Bay office, about 3 miles south of town, might also have some updates coming its way. The district has proposed converting the facility into a multi-purpose storage space. The plan would also tax some overflow parking and extra office spaces onto the remote facility. Petersburg's Ranger District does not currently have a timeline for this project, but they're taking public input until they can get started on the renovations. The district will accept comments at any time, but will prioritize ones submitted on or before March 15th. Taking a look at the community calendar. Kindergarten registration for the 2024-2025 school year is open at Hoots Elementary School. Sitka Tribe of Alaska invites all elders to Elder Community Coffee from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. the second Tuesday of the month through May 14th at Harrigan Centennial Hall. Sitka Parks and Recreation Committee meets at noon today at Harrigan Centennial Hall. Southeast Senior Services offers a free 8-week online Tai Chi class for those age 60 and older at 2:15 p.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays through March 14th via Zoom. String, wind, brass, and percussion players of any age able to read music are invited to join Sitka Community Orchestra rehearsals at 7 p.m. Tuesdays through May 7th. I'm Erin Fulton, and this has been Raven News.